This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to the show. This entire show will be devoted to a look at the news. It's kind of a tradition when you have the first show of a new year to take a look back. We do a lot of current events in this program. And in this case, what is current events, we will extend backward in time. So some of this will be stuff that's just been in the headlines real recently, and some of it will be back a little bit further on the time track. First story I think I want to hit was the allegation that was in newspapers all across the country about apparently rogue scientists have cloned a human being in an undisclosed location. This, of course, is causing legislators to quickly rise up, as they always do, getting agitated, calling for perhaps a ban on human cloning. And just as immediately, there's warnings that this ban would choke off some promising medical research. But what strikes me as odd about this story is I feel I've been in a time machine. Is it 1978 or is it 2002? This story surfaced here last month, was virtually a clone itself of a story that aired in March of 1978. Now, currently, this group called the Raelians, an extraterrestrial worshiping religious group, announced last week that they'd created the world's first human clone. But back in 1978, a ne'er-do-well science reporter who had previously worked for the New York Times and Time magazine named David Rorvik had come forward with his story that a millionaire who apparently gotten a hold of a Pacific island had brought a team of scientists there to clone himself. I mean, shades of James Bond. I mean, this was quite something. Everyone in 78 said this is premature. They can't clone humans yet. And it turned out they were right. The story unraveled as courts ordered evidence to be produced, leading to a legal ruling in 1981 that was a fraud. Now, most people think this current story is a fraud as well. And people are wondering, what is it about this religious group that would make them come forward to get egg on their face when they get busted? And nobody knows. People think it may just be for publicity, because afterwards, even if they're exposed, hey, they've become known by everyone in the world. So I don't know. If you start getting a free mailing for a personality test from the Raelians sometime in the near future, don't send it back in a big hurry. That's my advice. All right, news item. President Bush vaccinated against smallpox. George Bush received a smallpox vaccination last week, fulfilling a promise he made when he ordered inoculations for about 500,000 U.S. troops. Now, this has been quite a story in the news about possible bioterrorism related to what may go down in Iraq. It also has a local angle. UCD is currently seeking a $190 million biodefense center, which is very controversial, which we plan to cover in some depth in a future installment of this program. But we're only going to mention it today and say that, I'm very dubious about this smallpox threat coming out of Iraq. There's this one story that it may have been smuggled out of Russia. I think it's very implausible, but I'm not an expert, but our connections to the medical community in this area are excellent. And believe me, I will get an expert on here to tell us about that in the weeks to come. At this juncture, I should mention that it is day 478 of the still unsuccessful search for Osama bin Laden, a fact that is seldom, if ever, mentioned in the newspapers, and it's a deficiency which we seek to redress here. 478 days as of today, still can't find Osama, and yet we're talking about going to war against Saddam, who did not attack us on September 11th. So, Mr. McMillan, my award-winning producer, if you would be so good as to cue up the administration's theme song.
Now this means war!
Fredonians going to war! Each native son will grab a gun and run away to war!
At last we're going to war!
We come on the streets of war!
At last the country's going to war!
This is the country going to war!
At last the country's going to war!
We're going to war!
This is a fact we can't ignore!
We're going to war! This is a fact we can't ignore! We're going to war!
I don't know, if you were paying attention back in 1990 and 91 as to what went down as regarding the first war against Iraq, I think that you would wish that we would be a little smarter this time. There are some subplots going on here that have to do with geopolitical strategies, and that's another subject we're going to come back to in future installments. But I just think of that old Who song in regard to what's going on right now.
I'll tip my hat to the new Constitution. Take a bow for the new revolution. Smart and green and the change all around. Pick up my guitar and play. Just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
This is really an enormous story. I have in front of me Project Censored 2003, the top 25 censored stories of the past 2 years. We're going to address many of those in future installments, particularly regarding the war on terrorism, the war against Iraq, and the curious lack of enthusiasm about the new Bush administration when it took office 2 years ago about pursuing the bin Laden family, which, strangely enough, the Bushes and the bin Ladens appear to both be involved with the Carlyle Group, the 11th largest defense contractor in the U.S., a privately held company that doesn't have to reveal what it does to stockholders. I don't know, conspiracy theories abound, some of which I think have some merit. You know, I have some cautious optimism. They're a good group, Project Censored. We'll be able to get some of the participants on the phone to tell us about some of these very interesting stories. So we'll be looking at that in the future. All right, some other stories here. Cold from the San Francisco Chronicle. New laws, 1,168 new laws took effect on the first of the year. One which caught my eye, rape. The issue of rape. Medical professionals treating sexual assault victims are now required to provide emergency contraception if asked. I've seen out there in the world of the real world of medicine this omission. For people who have who need birth control information regarding many of our, I hate to say it, Catholic institutions who are categorically against birth control anytime, any place. And I've seen this information go omitted from people that could have used it. And I guess the legislature got wind of this and decided to address the issue. However, I do note that you're only required to provide emergency contraception if asked. If asked. A person who does not know that there is such a thing, and I think we're gonna tout that in future programs in some depth. That is an issue, I'm sure, as a college station, many of you listening will be concerned about emergency contraception. It's a matter of two birth control pills, actually four birth control pills. The new kits that are out there are basically just that, repackaged that. Birth control pills are effective for emergency contraception. But again, we're going to get a physician on this program to talk about that in the future. I think you'll find it interesting. Some other new laws. Junk faxes are banned. Unwanted advertising faxes have been eliminated. There was a loophole in a California law before that apparently has been closed. So if you get some junk faxes, like, what are you going to do about it? I get junk faxes all the time. In fact, I have to admit, right before the show, I went over to my fax machine and pulled one out today, after the first of the year. So I don't know whether this law is going to have any effect. One can hope so. I guess I've got some redress now. You can't get an unsolicited page anymore. Businesses cannot send unsolicited ads to cell phones or pagers with short message capability as of the first of the year. That's another good one. And another one worth mentioning, whistleblowers are protected now. Companies cannot prohibit employees from disclosing information about working conditions. Any job discrimination based on such disclosure is also now illegal. That's a good step forward. All right. If you read the paper, and I think most of you do, you'll notice that on Sundays you generally have numerous inserts that are produced for distribution all across the nation. Parade is one such insert that appears in numerous newspapers. I noticed that on the personality parade, it seems to be dominated now by publicists, pushing their Hollywood types before us. It used to be a lot more political 20, 30 years ago. Currently, as I'm looking at it, we're talking about Emmett Smith. We're talking about Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown. We're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. But I noticed that Fred Thompson in the parade section, plays a district attorney. Yes, Senator Fred Thompson of Tennessee, who's stepping down, has got himself this gig playing a district attorney on a television program that he'll be able to fall back on for his security, I guess, in his retirement. I think that's kind of interesting. One does wonder what his retirement as a United States Senator is, but anyway, well, I guess more power to Fred Thompson. But everyone seems to have a hard time resisting the best and worst of the year, and Parade Magazine was no exception. They went on at some length with the best and worst of everything, our annual year-end roundup, and some of these are pretty good. Best reason to buy a newspaper was cited. A memo made the rounds at Cable News Network advising on-air talent at CNN Headline News to incorporate more hip-hop lingo into future broadcasts to attract a younger audience. Quote, please use this guide to help all you homies and honeys add a new flavor to your tickers and decos, the memo read. To which Parade noted that the prospect of Larry King getting jiggy with fly girl Connie Chung is enough to drive us all into the arms of C-SPAN. And as a political comedian Will Durst likes to say, you just can't make some of this stuff up. Best reincarnation, culled from the Washington Post. A goat with a birthmark has fans of the late racing star Dale Earnhardt flocking to a farm 50 miles south of Jacksonville, Florida. The Nubian goat, 9 months of age, was born with a white number 3, which apparently was Earnhardt's car number on her right side. It's weird. I've seen people take pictures and get tears in their eyes, said the owner, Jerry Pearson, adding that his goat likely has a career in advertising. Are we sure it isn't the reincarnation of Babe Ruth? He was number 3, wasn't he? All right, and this one, you know, here's one story from Berkeley, cited from, of all places, the Orlando Sentinel. More than 1,100 babies trying to get meals from their moms set a world record as Berkeley, California, good old Berserkly, easily claimed from Australia the title for the city with the most women breastfeeding simultaneously. Organizers submitted to Guinness World Records a list of names, a video, and other proof that 1,130 mothers were simultaneously breastfeeding at least that number of babies in the Berkeley Community Theater, topping the Australian record of 769. Is this a great country or what? There was a story this week also that the feng shui of Sausalito apparently is endangered by the possibility of building a new police station, which I guess is going to disturb the flow of chi that passes, I guess, on the southerly winds down the Richardson Bay. I don't know. That's one we need to look into. We need to address the feng shui situation in Marin County, because apparently a lot of people are up in arms and are blocking the building of a new police force because of its disturbance in the force. All right, from the Sacramento Bee, December 30th, 2002. This caught my eye because when I was down at KDVS a few weeks back, and if you've never been to our radio station, the decor is very user-friendly. It has a certain eternal used collegiate look, I would say. But I was down there, and I mentioned the Ocean City, Maryland sign on I-50, and one of the guys down there said, have you seen that sign? Because I went to go show somebody the sign, and it wasn't there. I said, I don't know. I'll have to look into that. Well, I have looked into that, courtesy of the B. I'm happy to report that the Ocean City, Maryland sign is back. There had been two previous signs, both stolen. Twice in the last 3 years, chainsaw-toting thieves, widely reported, according to the Bee, to be mischievous frat boys from a certain university located between Dixon and West Sacramento, have stopped in the dead of night and made off with the sign. The last such theft occurred this summer, explaining why my friend couldn't find it. Well, it's back, but someone noticed that when they put it back, the distance to Ocean City, Maryland, which formerly had been 3,073 miles, was now 3,037 miles. Well, Ocean City, Maryland did not, in fact, get 36 miles closer to Sacramento in the interim, but some dyslexic person painting signs for the Highway Department at Caltrans apparently made the error. Now, this quickly was noticed. Now, you may not have known this, but there is a website dedicated to Highway 50 run by a man named Wolf Berg from his Virginia home. Mr. Berg noted that people like to make this cross-country journey on I-50 and pose in front of the sign in Maryland and then get to Sacramento and pose in front of the sign again. Well, of course, now there's a discrepancy between the two signs. And Caltrans, which is, I should add, taking great pains to make this new sign less stealable. They've made it much larger, so you frat boys can't just cut it down and throw it in the back of the pickup anymore. It also now includes Placerville 47 and South Lake Tahoe 107, also making it less valuable as a keepsake. It costs $1,000 to replace this sign. Fortunately, someone at Caltrans realized that they could just glue a plate over the part of the sign that's in error, in essence overlaying the 37 with a 73, and instead of spending $1,000, the cost of this enterprise will be only $10. I'm glad for this, because when it came out a couple years ago that Caltrans spends more money on administration than it does on the highways, they had a bit of a black eye. And actually, they've currently got another bit of a black eye. Resolving the sign matter for $10, good move, Caltrans. But what are you going to do about what you did to the Tower Bridge in Sacramento? Anybody see American Graffiti? I'm sure most of you have. Remember that line where the young Harrison Ford, making one of his first appearances in movies, pulls up playing Bob Falfa from, I think, Turlock to do the car racing scene in the streets of Modesto, pulls up and says to the guy driving the car, "What is that? What is that color there? Cross between piss yellow and puke green?" Well, I think Caltrans somehow must have got a hold of that particular color to paint the Tower Bridge, because it was supposed to be the Golden West. It's supposed to be kind of a golden color. I ask you people listening, take a look as you go over I-5. Take a look to the north during the daytime and take a look at the color that they have painted the Tower Bridge. Something must be done. And maybe we could send somebody, get him in a car from Caltrans, drive down to the Golden Gate. Take a look at the Golden Gate Bridge. See what golden is supposed to be. And then buy some of that paint and bring it back and repaint the damn Tower Bridge. We love to do science topics on this show. Discover Magazine has its annual special issue, The Year in Science, that it talks about the biggest news stories. And we're looking forward to going through many of those with you. One of them just caught my eye. That I think they must be smoking crack at Discover Magazine on one of their points. They claim that we don't have to worry. The population bomb is not going to go off. The population bomb fizzles is their title. That rates have been slowing in numerous countries around the world in spite of opposition from the Catholic Church and from most governments, which have not gotten behind birth control. But I'm not reassured by the fact that the new estimates are that the world may peak out between 9 and 10 billion by the end of the century. I just don't find that reassuring at all. If you've been to India, and I have, and you've seen what it's like, the impact, having a population in India, by the way, of one-third the size of the U.S., the nation of India, a population greater than that of the Western Hemisphere crammed into that space, this is something you just have to see to appreciate. India currently is set to overtake China, a nation three times its size, within the next 20 to 30 years, perhaps faster at the rate its population is growing. So we're going to argue with some of these, certainly that one and others, I expect, but we're not going to do that today. In a somewhat ominous story, the three-judge panel of the District Court of Appeals in Sacramento ruled last week that the Coastal Commission, California's Coastal Commission, is illegal. The agency violates the separation of powers, the court said, and it's kaput. Now, this could have wide-reaching implications for the development of the California coast. California still has numerous areas, vast stretches of coast, which remain undeveloped. The Coastal Commission has played quite a role in preventing development along much of our coast, and I think developers must be just licking their chops at what they can do along beachfront property in California. We may need to get some of our friends from the Sacramento News and Review to come and talk to us about this, because I'm sure that they're on this story. This is their kind of story, and I'm sure they're very interested in it. So, again, stay tuned for that one in the future. All right, we got to take a break here in a minute. Another story that I just, again, want to tease you with is this new fella, Bill Frist, taking Trent Lott's place, a physician, the first physician to be in the U.S. Senate in 50 years, a guy we need to talk about because this is not Marcus Welby in the U.S. Senate taking this leadership role. This is a guy who is very much a pro-business kind of doctor, meaning that he may be very friendly to the HMOs. Dr. Frist's father, I guess, and he together founded HCA, a hospital chain, which is for-profit, which also, by the way, is currently facing cumulative fines and penalties totaling $1.7 billion to settle accusations of health care fraud. Senator Frist wanted to put forth the Republicans' version of the Patient's Bill of Rights, which was considerably watered down. We'll see what happens with Dr. Frist, and I'm looking forward to researching him a little more thoroughly for you and then telling you about it. We got to take a break, so let's do that. We'll be back with Dr. Tony Held in the second segment to talk more about news stories of the past year. You're listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM, and I'm your host, Douglas Everett.